When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And just look at that. We have a new quarterback to talk about for this week's game against Cincinnati. Dorian Thompson-Robinson will get the start. Thought it was really interesting today when we heard press conferences from both DTR and Jameis Winston. And Jameis Winston kind of got to say his swan song a little bit today. And yeah. I don't know, you, Daryl, you were there. You tell me.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be back. The benching, I think, pretty much assures that. But he did leave the door open to the possibility of returning to the Browns next season. But Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he's looking at this like it's his big 2025 audition. He obviously knows how everyone feels about Deshaun Watson. He sees an opportunity, but I think he's going to have to do a lot in these final three games because I think we all know who and what he is as a quarterback. And, you know, obviously we're going to get to see it. We'll get into what he gets to go against on Sunday. This might actually, Andy, be the first time he's actually set up for success on the field by the Browns. And that's obviously something that Kevin Stefanski in his Wednesday press conference really pointed to. And that is making sure that they give DTR a full week to prepare. He had 2 games last year where he got the full week to prepare, but I think there's still a chance we see Bailey Zappe if this goes south with DTR. But I kind of feel like this is a 3-game audition for DTR, even though Stefanski and the Browns won't say as much.
All right, so does he give them the best chance to look at another quarterback, or does he give them the best chance to win?
He's just someone to look at.
Yeah.
I mean, winning is immaterial at this point, right? All it's going to do is cost you draft position, and it doesn't matter at this point, right? So, as I said, I think in our post-game pod, I certainly said it on like our morning show, like, it just doesn't matter who the quarterback is. None of them are up to standard. None of them are going to get you to the playoffs. And you just need to get to the end of this miserable failure of a season. And then you can go dumpster diving for another, you know, washed up quarterback in the offseason, which is what basically the Browns have pretty much done since 1999. Although if we do see Bailey Zappe, he becomes number 40. He would be the 40th different starting quarterback since 1999. So I'll just say this to the Browns. Be very careful who you pick to be number 40 on this list. It's very important.
Why? Why is this important? What are you talking about?
Nonsense. I'm just being facetious.
It is scary to believe that that's where we're at this point. So what can DTR do to improve his stock? Talked about using his legs today.
Not throw a bunch of interceptions.
Listen, Daryl, when he gave his answer today about what he's expected to do, was like Kevin Stefanski jumped into the camera or into the microphone and told him everything to say. Yes. And it's also something that we haven't seen from any of the quarterbacks this year, about playing within yourself, about he said a lot of things that I think Browns fans are hoping that he can be.
Yeah, but a lot of quarterbacks say a lot of things that Browns fans hope they can be, and none of it has panned out. So, I mean, look, I wasn't expecting him to go up there and say, yeah, you know, I just hope I don't stink the joint up. I'm just trying to get through these four quarters and be allowed to play the four quarters after that and then be allowed to play the final four quarters. He's not going to say any of that, right? So, of course, he's going to talk about being confident and how much he's learned since last year and what. But, like, you know, Cincinnati's defense is it's crapola, right? They're not very good. So – I would say if he's not able to be successful against this defense, then yeah, it's that like he's.
I thought this was super interesting at the end of last week's game because Joe Burrow was not happy with their 10-point win over Tennessee, and we saw them kind of yapping at each other. There have only been two teams all season that have had six turnovers in one single game. One we know were the Browns, and we just watched that against Kansas City. The other, Tennessee, who Cincinnati played last week. So I can only imagine what's going through Cincinnati's head right now.
Yeah, you know, I certainly understand Joe Burrow's frustration because he's having an MVP caliber year. He won't be considered for the award because his team is not going to make the playoffs. At least I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And their defense is terrible. I mean, the defensive rankings for the Bengals, I got them right in front of me here. Passing yardage, they are, or I should say points allowed per game. They're ranked 31st, giving up 10 more points per game than the Browns actually score per game, 27.6. The Browns are scoring a smidge over 17. They're 29th in overall defense. They're 20th against the run. They are 27th defending the pass. That's what I'm talking about. This is a prime opportunity for DTR to be successful. And then in turnover margin, they're tied for 13. They got a plus two. The Browns are 31st at minus 16. The Browns have had. Are you ready for this, Andy?
No, I don't really want to hear it.
The Browns have had 27 turnovers. They're 28 turnovers, I'm sorry, this year. No, it is 27. 18 picks, 9 fumbles lost. Last year, they had 37 turnovers.
Why is turnover on downs not considered a turnover?
It is a turnover.
But so how many turnovers did the Browns have last weekend?
Six. So that was considered to be one of them.
No, I mean, if four interceptions.
They had four interceptions, a fumble lost, and a turnover downs. 4 + 1 + 1 = 6.
I thought they had two fumbles last week. I don't know. It doesn't really matter because once you get more than three, you're in trouble.
Yeah, the only fumble they had was the
Chubb.
No, that was that went as an interception because the ball never touched the ground.
The muff punt?
The muff punt was the fumble.
What a wicked game. So what did you think of what Jameis had to say? I thought Jameis was very supportive. I thought he was very classy, actually. Tough spot. I mean, who wants to sit there and go, well, hey, you just got fired. Let's answer some questions. This is great.
I mean, look, he handled the benching as professionally as I've seen a quarterback here handle the benching. To his credit, he wasn't combative. He wasn't grumpy with us. Some questions he had very short answers to, understandably, and then some he was very expansive in his thought. So. I thought he handled it and I expected him to I certainly didn't expect him to get up there and, you know, trash the organization or trash Kevin Stefanski or whatnot. He gets it. He understands where the Browns are at. They've got to take a look at DTR here, see if there's a little something there before they do the offseason quarterback dumpster diving that they're, you know, going to be doing. And I thought he gave some really good answers as well. You know, it's not like he really did. The one thing that still amuses me is when he's talking about the interceptions and he knows he's better than that. And I just want to hug him and say, Jameis, I'm sorry, but you're not better than that. We've watched you for 10 years. It's what you do. You throw a lot of interceptions. Like, God bless you. God love you. But like the mistake that he made God actually did deliver him from the pick sixes. He hadn't thrown a pick six since Denver, but God did not deliver him from interceptions, and that's where he made his mistake with his prayer. He should have asked the Lord to deliver him from interceptions. So he got what he wanted or what he requested from God. He was.
I'll be honest, when you're throwing interceptions into the end zone, those should be called pick sixes too, because they've denied you 6 points.
You just had to go corny, dad driving a minivan on me.
No, I just think it's true. Those should be called. They should have special names when you get picked off in the end zone. All right, it's always game day in Cleveland. We have many, many, many more things to talk about with this exciting three-win team. I'm just glad you made it through the first 9 minutes and 38 seconds of this podcast with us.